السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله، الحمد لله وحده، والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده، أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد بعد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: ولنذيقنهم من العذاب الأدنى دون العذاب الأكبر لعلهم يرجعون. صدق الله العظيم. وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: إذا عظمت أمة الدنيا نزعت منها هيبة الإسلام، وإذا تركت الأمر بالمعروف والنهي عن المنكر حرمت بركة الوحي، وإذا تسابت أمتي سقطت من عين الله، وكما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. Honorable Ulama Ikram, respected brothers and elders, it's the natural disposition of any person with a sound intellect, meaning his mind is in a sane state of mind, or is in the correct state of mind, and his natural reaction would be, when any news comes to him that some calamity is about to befall him, some hardship, some difficulty is about to come upon him, that he will take measures to protect himself from what is about to come upon him. For example, a person hears on the news, or he receives a message that a storm is headed, he is staying in a coastal town, and a storm or a hurricane is headed his way. What will a person with sound intellect do? He will board up his windows. He will take his family to a safer area, so that he himself can be preserved. Whatever wealth he can take with him, he will take with him. Whatever he can protect back at home, in whatever way he can protect his wealth at home, he will do so. Because he understands the value of his wealth, and he understands that for him to preserve his wealth and his family and his personal belongings will be the right thing to do. So a person, naturally, he will take the measures, because that's a person's instinct, a person's nature. If a person is dealing in dollars and he hears that the dollar is about to plunge, the value of the dollar is about to plunge, what he will do, he will offload whatever wealth he has, so that he does not, so a financial difficulty does not befall him. A person hears that a certain flu is around, or there's a certain virus in a certain area, he will avoid that area. And if he's within that area, he will take whatever precautions he can, so that he may be safe from this. So whatever news a person reaches, a person with regards to some personal harm, some personal difficulty, some personal calamity, a person naturally will take the measures to protect himself from the harm. So when the news comes from the most authentic source that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ever created, that is Huzuri Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then my dear brothers, how much more do we have to react to protect what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has warned us about? And what has Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam warned us about? For us to come into protection mode, for us for that natural disposition of protection to come in with regards to the warning of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. First and foremost, we have to understand that what is it that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is warning us about with regards to what a calamity is going to come upon it. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is not worried about the wealth of the ummah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned in the hadith, "Lal faqra akhsha alaykum," that I'm not worried about that poverty will come over this ummah, "Walakin akhsha alaykum an tubsata lakum ad-dunya," but Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam feared that wealth would become abundant for this ummah. So it wasn't wealth that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was worried about. It was not the numbers of this ummah that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was worried about, but it was the ummah as a whole, the ummah at large. That's the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was worried about. And what is the status of this ummah? For us to understand the value of this ummah, we analyze the conversation between Musa alayhi salatu wa sallam and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Musa alayhi salatu wa sallam was kalimullah. He could speak to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala direct. So he tells Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that, "Oh Allah, this ummah that you have granted me, it has such a high, lofty status, and such bounties you have granted this ummah." What bounties that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted the Bani Israel, the people of Musa alayhi salatu wa sallam? This ummah the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the other nations as well. When the children are born, they are born in the state of nakedness. They are not born with clothes. The people of Musa alayhi salatu wa salam, they were born with clothes. And as they grew, the clothes grew with them as well. So they had no need for factories and for fabric, etc. They had no need for clothing shops because they were born with the clothes, and as they grew, the clothes grew with them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted them shelter that from the sun, that there was no need for them to even build homes. That's whenever they used to walk, the clouds used to move with them, and they used to shelter them from the sun. And with regards to food, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them directly from Jannah, man and salwa. So Musa alayhi salatu wa salam tells Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that these bounties which you have granted my ummah, you have not granted any other nation such a bounty. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells Musa alayhi salatu wa salam. So the question, if we had to pose a question amongst ourselves, that which is greater, the creation or the creator? The natural answer would be that nothing can match up to the creator, that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is far superior to any of his creation. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells Musa alayhi salatu wa salam that, O Musa, ama ta'lam anna fadla ummati Ahmad, that O Musa, do you not know that the virtue of the ummat of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is over all the other ummats, over all the other nations, is like the virtue of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala over his creation. That is the superiority that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted the ummat of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this ummat, this valuable ummat in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran al-Kareem that kuntum khayra ummah, that you are the best of nations, far superior than any other nation which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created. So this is the ummat which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is warning us about. That Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wants us to make an effort to preserve. And what does Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say? Yushikul umamu an tada'a alaykum kama tada'a al-akilatu ila qas'atiha. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam addressing the sahaba radiyallahu ta'ala anhum, telling the sahaba radiyallahu ta'ala anhum that a time will come when the nations will call one another. They will invite one another to partake of this ummat, like a person who prepares a meal and he invites the people to come to partake of that meal. Similarly, this ummat will become like a meal, and people will be inviting one another to partake of this, or to partake of this ummat. Why did the ulama explain that? Why did Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam use the analogy of a meal? Like a person when he's eating a meal, when he's partaking of a meal, when he has a variety of dishes in front of him, he can choose whichever dish he wants to eat at any time, and the food has no ability to even protect itself. It cannot say no. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying, as predicted 1400 years ago, that the time will come when the nations will be telling themselves, in which country should we bulldoze the homes of this ummah? In which country should we be killing the children of this ummah? In which country should we be removing the innocence of this ummah? In which country should we be removing the people of this ummah? In which country should we be removing the food of this ummah? This is what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had warned us about 1400 years ago. If we analyze the plight of this ummah today, one can only be left but to ask, can this ummah sink any further? Where the homes are being bulldozed, the children of this ummah are going hungry, and there is not a single Muslim nation that can safely say that come to within our borders, you will be saved. Come to us, we will be able to assist you. Because this is where we have reached today. So the sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, they were perplexed. They could not understand that will the ummah reach such levels that the other nations will be able to take such advantage of them. So they asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wa min qillatin nahnu yawma idhin, that will we be of such lesser numbers on that day that you will be able to take such advantage of us? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replies, bal antum yawma idhin kathir, no, you will be large in number, walakinnakum ghusa'un ka ghusa'is sail, but you will be like the deluge of a flood when there is abundance of water but not of any benefit. In fact, at times the flood water is the abundance of water is causing us harm. Similarly, my dear brothers, there is no benefit at that time in the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wala yanzi'anna Allah min suduri aduwikum al mahabata minkum, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will remove from the enemies the awe that is supposed to be in the heart of the believer, in the heart of the recital of the kalima la ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. What is this awe that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is speaking about? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions in the hadith that dusirtu bir ru'bi masirata shahr, that I have been assisted with awe, with ru'b, the distance of 1 month, meaning that the enemies will be the distance that it will take a person 1 month to travel. That's how far away from the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum they would be. And what was the condition of Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum at that time? They would fight battles in such conditions that some battles were known as, one battle was known as Dhatur Riqa, where the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum did not even have shoes to wear. They were tying rags to their feet and they were walking. They were fighting most of the battles that they fought, that one Sahabi would have a broken sword and the other one would have a shield. One Sahabi will be wearing one shoe, the other Sahabi will be wearing another shoe. Some Sahaba will not even have enough clothes to cover themselves. The Mu'arrikheen, the historians write that the condition of the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum at that time would be such that if a person had to look at the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum and say that if these people are going to fight anyone, they would burst out in tears because these people could barely fend for themselves. Outwardly it would appear that they could barely protect themselves. How would they protect themselves against an enemy? But my dear brothers, they in this condition, the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, when the people heard that the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum are coming towards them, the enemy hears of the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, hears of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, immediately they will begin to tremble with fear out of the awe which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had put in their heart. This was the assistance which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had granted Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And you find in the Quran al-Kareem, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised the same assistance that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had granted Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised it to every single believer. But yet we find ourselves in these times today, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam furthermore says that this all will be removed and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in its place will put wahan. So Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that's what is wahan? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied, hubbu dunya wa karahiyatul maut, that it is the love of this world and the hatred of death. My dear brothers, this is what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has warned us about, and this is what we have to protect ourselves from. And what is, how do we protect ourselves, my dear brothers? First, we have to find out what is the root cause of this. In hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned, إِذَا عَظَّمَتْ أُمَّةِ الدُّنْيَا نُزِعَتْ مِنْهَا هَيْبَةُ الْإِسْلَامِ, that when the ummah begins to honor the dunya, hold the dunya in high esteem, bring in their hearts the love and the azmat and the grandeur and the love of dunya in their hearts, then all, immediately this awe of Islam will be removed. My dear brothers, how does the azmat of the dunya come into our heart? How does the awe of the dunya come into our heart? Is then when we fill when our efforts are behind this dunya, when our speech is behind this dunya, when our thoughts is behind this dunya, our preferences behind this dunya, at every given moment when we give preference to the life of this dunya over the life of the hereafter, how does this happen, my dear brothers? When we look, analyze our lives at the time of Fajr, what do we give preference to? Do we give preference to that soft, comfortable, warm bed, or do we give preference to the call of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? At the time of Zuhr and Asr, what do we give preference to? Those tales that are ringing, those customers that are flowing in, those clients that are calling, or do we give preference to the call of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and come to the masjid? At the time of Maghrib and Isha, what do we give preference to? Do we give preference to socializing? Do we give preference to those matches which are playing? Or do we give preference to the call of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and present ourselves in the masjid? My dear brothers, if with regards to our clothing, what clothing do we choose? Do we choose that clothing which will bring us closer towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Or do we choose that clothing which are the clothing of the enemies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? When it comes to our life choices for our children, what choices do we make? Those choices which will take them towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, those choices that will build for them an akhirat. Oh my dear brothers, do we choose the life of this world? We build for them a dunya, and at the same time, my dear brothers, forgetting the life of the hereafter, then we realize that where have we gone wrong? How has the azmat of this dunya come into our lives? At every given moment, we choose the life of this world over the hereafter. We choose dunya over deen, as a result of which the azmat of dunya, the value of dunya has entered our hearts, and the value of deen has slowly left our hearts because of the lack of effort behind the deen. So that is the first aspect which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned in the hadith, that إِذَا عَظَّمَتْ أُمَّةِ الدُّنْيَا نُزِعَتْ مِنْهَا هَيْبَةُ الْإِسْلَامِ. When the dunya enters his heart, automatically the awe of Islam will will be removed from our lives, and then the enemies will do with us as they please. Thereafter Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions, وَإِذَا تَرَكَتِ الْأَمْرَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَالنَّحْيَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ حُرِمَتْ بَرَكَةَ الْوَحِي. That when we leave out Amr bin Ma'ruf, وَالنَّحْيَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ, then immediately we will be deprived of the barakat of wahi, meaning the ability to act upon the Quran al-Kareem. And what is this, my dear brothers? This is what is what makes us the best of nations. I've mentioned at the beginning that this ummah has been known as the best of nations. كُنْتُمْ خَيْرَ أُمَّةٍ أُخْرِجَتْ لِلنَّاسِ. That we are the best of nations because we have been taken out for the hidayat of mankind. Because of this Amr bin Ma'ruf and Nahi anil Munkar, we are known as the best of nations. And my dear brothers, like a lion is known as the king of the jungle because of its bravery and because of its courage. Courage, once you find a lion that is not brave, that is afraid of every little sound or every little animal, then you cannot call this the king of the jungle. Similarly, my dear brothers, this ummah is known as the best of ummahs because of this Amr bin Ma'ruf and Nahi anil Munkar. And the moment we remove this Amr bin Ma'ruf and Nahi anil Munkar, we are still the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But can we call ourselves the best of ummahs, the best of nations, my dear brothers? So this is the second aspect which has been pointed out by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that we have to command towards good and prohibit from evil. And the third aspect which Huzuri Paak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned, وَإِذَا تَصَابَتْ أُمَّتِي سَقَطَتْ مِنْ عَيْنِ اللَّهِ. This is very, very applicable in today's time. Well, as a result of our love of dunya, as a result of love of fame and name and fame, as a result of wanting shuhrat, of wanting to be the better person, we fight with one another. This is one of the greatest reasons of mahrumiyat. Mahrumiyat means that a person will be deprived of certain things from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When two brothers have discord amongst one another, when they are fighting with one another, then mahrumiyat comes upon him, meaning deprivation will come upon a person. And what deprivation comes upon a person, first to understand that, for example, Laylatul Qadr, the greatest nights which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed us with, the knowledge of this night, the exact night, was supposed to be given to the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but because of two brothers, not the entire ummah, but just two people fighting during the month of Ramadan or during this time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala deprived the entire nation of the exact date of Laylatul Qadr. Similarly, my dear brothers, when the ummah is fighting with one another, when brothers are fighting with brothers, brothers are not speaking to brothers. Actually, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, لا يحل لمسلمين أن يهجر أخاه فوق ثلاثين. That it is not permissible for a brother to not speak to his brother for more than 3 days. فإن هجر فوق ثلاثين فمات دخل النار. That if he does not speak to his brother for more than 3 days and he passes away in that condition, he will enter the fire of Jahannam. My dear brothers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved from this. This is the repercussions in the hereafter and the repercussions in this dunya. فإذا تصابت أمتي سقطت من عين الله. That when the ummah call one another names, when they fight with one another, then we are removed from the guardianship, the watchmanship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's assistance is, we are deprived of the assistance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So how, my dear brothers, like I started the topic, that how do we save ourselves as the ummah at large? How do we save ourselves as the ummah at large, my dear brothers? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran al-Kareem, that these conditions that come upon us, why does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bring it upon us? Not to punish us. وَلَنَذِيقَنَّهُمْ مِنَ الْعَذَابِ الْأَدْنَى دُونَ الْعَذَابِ الأكبر لعلهم يرجعون. That the small trials and tribulations that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings upon us in this world, that we find that the Muslims are in such an ebb, at such low standards, that we don't have anyone to turn to. What does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that this comes upon us so that we may turn towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِنَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى يَبْسُطُ يَدَهُ بِالنَّهَارِ لِيَتُوبَ مُسِيءُ اللَّيْلِ وَيَبْسُطُ يَدَهُ بِاللَّيْلِ لِيَتُوبَ مُسِيءُ النَّهَارِ حَتَّى تَطْلُعَ الشَّمْسُ مِنْ مَغْرِبِهَا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is waiting with metaphoric open arms during the day so that the sinners of the night can turn towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is opening his arms at night metaphorically so that the sinners of the day can turn towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this system of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, day in, day out, night in, night out, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is waiting for us to turn to Him. Turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Lift our hands. Cry only to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَالَّذِينَ تَدْعُونَ مِن دُونِهِ مَا يَمْلِكُونَ مِن قِتْمِيرٍ. That anyone besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that you turn to, any embassy that you run towards, any government that you run towards, any United Nations that you run towards, any scientist, any technological advancement that you think that will help the plight of this ummah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَمْلِكُونَ مِنْ قِتْمِيرٍ. They don't even have control of what is known as qitmir. In the Arab world, if a person analyzes that what is the most common commodity found, it is the date. And from the date, what is even more insignificant than the date is the pit of the date. And even more insignificant than the pit of the date is the clear film that is found on the pit of the date, that is known as qitmir. Those people that you turn towards besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they do not even have control over that sheet, that covering over the pit of the date. وَلَوْ سَمِعُوا مَا يَمْلِكُونَ مِنْ قِتْمِيرٍ إِن تَدْعُوهُمْ لَا يَسْمَعُوا دُعَاءَكُمْ. You can call unto them, you can ask them, you can march to the embassies, but the blow سَمِعُوا مَسْتَجَابُوا لَكُمْ. And even if they are to hear your call, but they will not come to your assistance. The only person to assist us is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Turn towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ask of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, beg from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to assist the plight of this ummah, then we find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's assistance will be with us, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's assistance will be with the ummah at large. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq of making dua for ourselves, making tawbah firstly, make dua for ourselves, and make dua for the ummah at large, that the Muslims in Burma, the Muslims in Palestine, the Muslims in Somalia, every country of the world where the Muslims are going through some difficulty, make dua for them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's assistance must be with them and with us, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protects us from such situations. Wa akhir da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Thank you.